By the way, Pierre, I understand that young Ryan McGuire, your son, has been playing out in the BC Hockey League, was named Rookie of the Year by the Penticton Vs, the team he's playing for this year. So congratulations.
Right. We're really happy for him. Yeah, it was good. I didn't get to watch his ceremony because I was working the Islanders in the Bruins game last night. But, yeah, no, that was great. If you ever have the chance to go play junior A hockey and Penticton calls, go. It's an amazing organization, unbelievably well run. And the biggest thing is just the coaching and the energy around the franchise. It's an awesome experience. So Ryan had a great year there.
When it was all said and done, and we've been talking off and on with you about this, because he's been out there pretty much
since last July.
Yeah, it's been off and on and on, like all hockey this year. How many games did they end up playing when it was done?
34 games.
Okay.
And Penticton's record was 31, 2, and 1.
So not bad in terms of wins and losses.
No, they're a machine.
Good.
They really are.
So
they're
is good. He, are they, so the hockey's done? Is he coming home soon?
Yeah, no, he's got to stay and finish school, so he won't be home until probably the end of June.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations
to
him, to you guys. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with the game you did then, because you watched, man, Taylor Hall has gone to Boston, Pierre, and he has delivered 2 goals last night. He's got 8 in the 16 games that he played and 14 points. Tell us, in what way is Taylor Hall a different player in Boston than he was in Buffalo?
He's fast, he's strong, and he's hard on the puck. All things I did not see in Buffalo. All things I did not see in Arizona last year, especially in the playoffs. It's amazing. It's a totally reborn player. He deserves full marks for it. He's not only just helped himself. He's really helped David Krejci and Craig Smith as line mates. That line is scary. And so now when you play the Bruins, there are major matchup problems because everybody knows about the perfection line with Pasternak, Bergeron, Marchand. Then you've got to deal with Krejci, Hall, and Smith. So you got speed on the wings. You got a creative genius in the middle, and Krejci is really starting to heat up. And the problem is when you play the Bruins now, they've got a smash mouth component. They don't even have Charlie Coyle in the lineup yet, but Chris Wagner came back. You've got Nick Ritchie to deal with. I mean, you got some big people that are going to be hard to play against. This Bruins team is rounding into form at the perfect time for them.
Do you think we're going to see some old-school hockey if they play Washington in the first round?
Yep, I really do. And obviously they're playing tonight, and it's pretty substantial because the Bruins want to make a statement on home ice. I'm sure Chara's going to have them amped up, ready to play. And you've got big body presence on both sides. And the Washington Capitals are a good team. They're well coached. Peter's gone in there and really done a good job kind of changing the schematic, how they play in Washington in a positive way. And so it's going to be an interesting series to watch because they're kind of different identities, both teams. So, it'll be interesting to watch how it plays out.
How much of a relief will it be for Montreal that they got that last point? They needed one. It was a bit of a struggle last night, but they got it to overtime. They got the point they needed.
They obviously did exactly what you said, JR, so they're relieved that way. If they don't have all their assets ready to play, whether they play, in the first round against Edmonton or they play in the first round against Toronto, I just can't see it being an easy playoff for them because they're just not scoring easily enough, and that's a problem. Jake Evans, by the way, last night had a phenomenal game for Montreal. He played great. He deserves a lot of credit. But they don't get enough 5-on-5 offense with consistency. So that's a big problem for them, whether they play Edmonton or whether they play Toronto.
Watching the Montreal games as well, Pierre, I just look at energy. Energy has been low. I know it's a long schedule. Do you feel like there can be, with the addition of a few players and just a reset for the playoffs, that they can change that, or just not going to be very good come playoff time?
Well, no, that's why I agree with you. I think you're spot on, Sean. That's why I said what I said. They need all hands on deck. They got to get everybody back and playing because that would be like the trade deadline. When you have the trade deadline and you're bringing a new body and everybody's excited to add that body, it helps the energy around the room. It helps the energy on the ice. And for whatever reason, there is a little bit of lack of energy in Montreal right now, and I think part of that is because of the schedule they've had. Part of it's because they're not an overly large team, and part of it is because they're not overly fast in the back end. But if they get all their assets back, it can bring some more energy, and I think that could help them in the playoffs.
There still is the question of who will finish third and who will finish fourth in the Canadian division, but we've got still a bunch of meaningless games that will still have to be played. Is it your understanding, Pierre, and I know the playoffs for the American-based teams will start Saturday, is it your understanding that the Canadian-based teams won't start until all the games are completed, which for Calgary and Vancouver won't be until, I think it's next Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, that's the understanding I have. And then the other understanding I have is they'll have to play catch-up, so don't be surprised if you, and again, I don't know this for certain, but I know it's been speculated that games 1 and 2 would be back-to-back. There'd be a day off, and then 3 and 4 would be back-to-back.
Wow, 4 and 5.
Yeah, so
really?
That, now, again, don't quote me on that. Yeah. I'm just telling you what I've heard speculated on so that they can play catch-up. But I don't know whether that would work or not. I just don't know. So we'll see. But again, it's not going to be easy because they definitely want to get this thing done by a certain date.
The most important or the biggest game last night was probably Vegas and Colorado.
Yep.
And Colorado ends up winning it 2-1 on a third period goal. So they're still alive to win the division and to win the President's Trophy. But the big story from the game is that Vegas skated with 15 players,
yep.
10 forwards and 5D.
And
because
they should have won the game.
Yeah, because of injuries and salary cap problems. So, yeah, tell us about the game and how did they do it then? How'd they play so well with 15 guys?
They played smart. They were really good defensively. Their defense is so hard to play against, obviously. They played layered and structured. That was a Philip Grubauer game. He was fantastic. I mean, Grubauer played so well in that game. And I got to say this, when you watch Vegas play, it's just a transition game is so good. And they didn't have Martinez in the lineup last night either. That's going to be the thing. When you play Vegas, it's going to be very hard to establish a forecheck. And I would just say that Colorado should be very grateful they had Philip Grubauer on goal last night. He did justice to that team last night, I'll tell you that.
I know it is a penalty, and JR mentioned, in essence, having to only dress 15, but I'm big on quality control. Do you not think this is a bad look for the National Hockey League and in some ways a circumvention of the salary cap when they can only dress 15 players instead of 18?
It's hard to really answer it, but it's hard not to agree with your point. It doesn't look right, obviously, and it's something that I think people need to look at long-term. Right? I'm not going to say it's going to be fixed immediately, but it's something they need to look at long-term.
Okay, the Jack Eichel story, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that he said what he said yesterday. He's always been a pretty forthright guy, and he hasn't talked in a long time, but it was kind of like guy walking away from explosion. So what's your initial takeaway from what Jack had to say yesterday?
I felt really bad. I'll tell you why. Because on Saturday, when John Forzan and I worked the game in Pittsburgh between Buffalo and Pittsburgh, we did a story on what Jack did around the Roswell Cancer Center, and he gave flowers to the first responders and the nurses there, and it's pretty substantial. And it was a real classy move, and we talked about it, and I thought it was great because it showed his commitment to the community. At least that's what we thought. And then you hear yesterday, and I like Jack. Again, known him for a while now, and I appreciate the way he plays. I love the way he plays, and I know it's frustrating because they haven't had a lot of success there, and he hasn't been surrounded with the very best players maybe that they could possibly have, and it's probably very frustrating for him. But when you start to hear a player, especially during these times, refer to himself in the third, party and these are tough times. I just didn't think that was appropriate yesterday. I just didn't like it. There are other ways he could have done that, I think, that would have been more appropriate.
If you're the manager or owner of that, what kind of an issue do you have with a player actually spending time in Florida when he's hurt versus being around the hockey team as a captain and a leader and a $10 million hockey player? Well, I sure don't like it.
That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I just didn't think yesterday was handled appropriately by his camp and by him. It's unfortunate because I don't think you ever want to be stained that way, especially when you're the captain of a team. You've signed an $80 million contract. I don't think anybody's going to be crying for you. And so, again, it's unfortunate. I feel bad even have to comment on it, but unfortunately, it's part of the hockey news.
So he was asked about, have you put in a trade request, and he didn't answer it specifically, but his references throughout his answers always referred to Buffalo as them. So it feels like he's put the team in his rearview mirror and he would like to be moved along. The question is going to be, Pierre, if Buffalo decides to go down that road, are they going to be able to get even, 75, 80 cents on the dollar? Like, are they going to be able to create enough marketplace for him to get a good return?
It's going to be harder now because of what came out of yesterday. But I think they'll be able to do pretty well. It's not going to be easy because of the marketplace, especially with money being tight for some of the owners, not all of them, but for some of them. You got to think it's a three-component deal coming back, maybe more, depending on what Buffalo is looking for. But it's not going to be an easy deal to do. The one good piece of news for them is Jack signed long term. So, you know, you've got, I guess you would call it cost certainty with the player. You know exactly what he's getting, and you know exactly what you're getting with the athlete, as a player. Now, if you put him into a situation where it's not going to be a chance to win again, then you're kind of spinning your wheels. But we'll see. He's still a very, very competent player. I mean, he's an elite player in the league. He really is.
And he's also, to me, Pierre, I look at him as American-born, new U.S. TV deal next year at the Olympics. He'll be one of the faces of it. If I'm the Rangers, Islanders, JR mentioned Boston, Chicago, L.A., I got to think every one of these franchises looks at this and says, hey, you know what? We'll put it past. We'll put him in his place. He comes here at 24 years old. I would be all over that right now.
Well, exactly. That's what I said. But not every owner is going to be able to do it. Some will, some won't. But the thing about the TV contract is it's a different rights holder now, two different rights holders, and they don't do the Olympics. And there's a chance NHL players won't be going to the Olympics. So I don't know where that, with all due respect, I don't know where that fits in. But we'll see. The thing to me with Jack is you're getting, if you do get him in a trade, you're getting a very, very elite player, and he can be the difference for a team that's really knocking on the door.
Would it be important, and like the perception I think of a lot of us from afar, Pierre, is that he's a spoiled guy. But if you were to bring him into a team that had a good room, as it were, especially some good veteran, like I'll use Boston as an example, only because Patrice Bergeron is a revered leader in Marchand. You bring him in there, doesn't have to be the guy. He has to be a guy, but has to be a, you know, and a good guy, but the guy, at least in a time for him to mature under, you know, a leader like Bergeron. And then when Bergeron decides to move along, then maybe hopefully at that point, if you're a team like Boston, you've got a guy where the light has finally gone off.
Yeah, I just don't know if you're Buffalo, if you want to trade him to Boston.
Right, yeah.
That's sort of the scenario, I guess. No, but that's a smart way to look at it. Absolutely. I could see a scenario where, and I don't want to go through names of teams, but I can think of two or three teams that if they ever got Jack Eichel and he goes into their room, it really works for Jack and it works for the team. I could think of two or three off the top of my head that are out west that would be perfect fits for him and for the team.
Would you see some parallels to Joe Thornton, young and immature, maybe not to the same extent, but shipped out of Boston, and forget about the trade, but hey, he went to a new place. Mika Zibanejad here in Ottawa, where suddenly you go somewhere and flat out it's a fresh start and all of a sudden it clicks in.
Great thinking. It really does. And some guys handle it, some guys don't, but it's a great point and I would agree with that. The one thing I'll say about the Thornton deal, that was not a good deal.
No, for sure, for sure.
I said it at the time, and a lot of people are like, no, it's a great deal for Bud. I'm like, no, it's not. And you'll see, because you trade a player like that that's just starting to scratch the surface, and all of a sudden he goes out and wins the Hart Trophy and the Art Ross, and you're like, well, what did we do? So, you know, but you got to be careful. If you're making those deals, you better make sure you got the right guys coming back, because if not, it can cause, ask Mike O'Connell, it can cause you problems and it can eventually cost you your job.
If you are the Buffalo Sabres, I know it's way back, and I know even at the time when it happened, didn't look at it the same way, but are you looking for quality versus quantity, and similar to, hey, cash an old Yashin, dash for cash, and bringing in the Spets of the high pick and a guy like Chara?
Yeah, that's what I'd be. I'd rather get more quality than quantity, and I would want to make sure that I get the right people that want to be part of it or seemingly be part of it. They're going to have to do some fine-tuning with their roster in Buffalo. I was around their team a lot the last month and a half. I love the positive messaging of Donnie Granato. I love the way the team started to play hard for one another, so that was all positive. They can build off that going into training camp next year, but they need more assets, and I still think they need higher-end talent, obviously. That's pretty apparent. But you did see some development with their younger players, and which was really positive. Like, Darlene got a ton better. Casey Mittelstadt was really starting to come as a player, which is really important for them. They need him. Jacob Bryson looks like he could be the next Matt Grizzlick, which is a really good player. So there's a lot that's going positive in Buffalo. But, you know, again, they've got a long way to go.
Last one for you, because I know you got to go. Sens final practice today before their last game coming up tomorrow. If you're DJ Smith, do you have a, and they were off yesterday flying back from Calgary, do you have a fun practice today? Like, are you putting the boots to them and, you know, let's get fully prepared for, even though the game is meaningless, for that final game of the season?
Oh, I don't think any game is meaningless in the NHL, especially when you're getting paid to play. So I think every game matters. whether you're in it or not, because your stats always count long-term, and that's the legacy you leave as a player, as a coach. So I don't think you should ever take a game off or a day off, but I do think you can make it fun, and I think it's important to make it fun. I remember a practice that we had in the Stanley Cup playoffs that I'd be running where you make it fun because there's so much tension to begin with. So I'd rather make it fun, especially when it's your last one, and then have the guys leave with a real good taste in their mouth.
All right, good stuff. All right, I appreciate the time and the insight as always, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Have a great day, everybody. Sean, take care of yourself. Bye-bye.